I'm assuming this is the work of a late, great Lamont Dozer.
Yes, indeed, as sung by Marvin Gaye.
We could play a Lamont Dozer number one song every break and not cover them all tonight.
That's how deep the catalog is.
That's
an
amazing.
Amazing career.
81 years old, passed away today. Our condolences to the Dozer family. So we've kind of avoided this one because we started this last night and it kind of got people riled up. And I respect that. And I keep saying that I want to be civil and I want to be respectful and I want to listen to opposing viewpoints and admit when I'm wrong. That's hard to do these days. No one wants to give you the time of day if you disagree with them. And I find myself guilty of that as well. You know, the former president, I was never a fan before he got into politics. You know, I was never a fan of the braggadocious, you know, no-nonsense, yada, 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 of Donald J. Trump. From his real estate days to his hawking everything he could slap his name on to his TV show, which was just, you know, a studio with wood panel walls where he was portrayed to be this business genius despite having... How do you fail at a casino? You know,
yeah, that takes
casinos,
a special
they
sort
print
of
money,
failure.
You know, they print money and you went bankrupt three times. You know, and I'm going to get the text. I respect and appreciate that. 888-973-5476. I don't care that we have different viewpoints. I don't like you less because we have different viewpoints. A lot of you like me less because I have a different viewpoint than you, and that's okay. But yesterday we had a historic event. You know, the former president of the United States had his home, a raid by the FBI. And it wasn't a no-knock raid. You know, there was a search warrant that was presented by officials from the Justice Department. They have to gather evidence. They have to present evidence to a federal judge, a member of the judiciary branch, two different branches of government. You have to take evidence to a judge and say we have reasonable fear that this subject of an investigation who is not cooperating, who has been asked for these documents, may destroy these documents. We've got evidence that this has been the trend in the past. There are documentations of documents being shredded or burned or just disappearing, phone records not being kept, you know, official phones not being used with late President Trump during his administration. So the Justice Department presented a federal judge with this evidence, enough that they wanted a search warrant. They got one. They went to the former president's home. This is like lighting a match to the American political scene, which has already been, just bananas, so contentious. I get it. You know, you folks who are supporters of the previous president, you believe that he was a man of, I don't know if I want to say, he's not a man of integrity. He's been, you know, reported to have been adulterous with every one of his wives. I mean, I don't know how anybody respects a guy like that. We're all flawed. But you hope your leaders are going to become more than the rest of us are. We want our leaders to be, you know, no one's perfect, but we want them to be better. We don't want our leaders to be less than we are.
Remember when the conduct of Bill Clinton was considered scandalous?
Well, I do, but that's also not a fair barometer because everything has kind of gotten a little looser.
True.
And Bill helped loosen the ketchup bottle top on that one. You know, but you're right. In those
Trump
days,
threw the ketchup against the wall.
You saw me going there, didn't you? Yeah, I guess that's too easy a joke to make. I apologize. I'll try a little harder to make a better joke next time. But and this isn't a joke. I get it, Matt. I mean, this is tough times. You know, I feel very passionate about politics. I've always had an interest in politics, and I get my news sources from different places than some of you get your news sources. And I trust and respect the people that I listen to for my information, as I'm sure you do yours. But it's like we're living on two different planets these days. You know, I can't believe the two different sides of the media saw the same thing happen yesterday, have the same understanding of how our system works, have the same understanding of what our system expects from each other. You know, on the liberal-leaning side, the left side, the side I tend to believe in and tend to rally for work towards, I should say. I don't work for anybody of a political party. I work here on a radio station that allows me to to engage with you, the audience, and give my perspective on life and my opinions on life. Try to be as fact-based as we can. But there are folks who believe that this was just a vindictive political, to quote a texter, the 360, a political hit job. A warrant signed by a judge who wants blah, 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 blah. Right. If you don't think that this was the most scrutinized request for a search warrant in the history of our nation, you're naive and you're kidding yourself. You got blinders on. You're not looking at the facts.
Pop quiz for the audience, too. The FBI director who approved the search, who appointed him?
Well, that's a great point. He's a Trump appointee. The judge who signed off on the warrant was a Trump appointee. But there are people point out that the judge who signed off on this warrant also represented employees of the former Epstein.
Because that's how due process works. Lawyers often defend people whether or not they endorse their actions. That's because everyone is entitled under the Constitution to a defense in court.
Even the lowest dirtbag going on the face of the earth
deserves
to stay in court. You're innocent until proven guilty. But there are folks who believe that the Justice Department has been weaponized by the Biden administration. And that's, there are conservative talk show hosts, bloggers, influencers. That's another thing about the age we live in. Everyone's got a megaphone, and even me. And you don't have to have a journalism degree to voice your opinion. Even me. I don't have a journalism degree. But there are folks who are saying it's time to go to war. It's time to take up arms because of what happened to their hero, to former President Trump yesterday. That's not the solution for any of this. A civil war. General Milley, or is it Miley? I apologize. I think it's Miley. The former Joint Chiefs of Staff, commander of the Joint Chiefs of Staff under President Trump. General Miley had wrote a letter of resignation to President Trump, saying some horrific things about the former president. This is a general, commander of the Joint Chiefs. But he didn't resign, didn't turn in that letter of resignation, because he felt that in place in that administration, he could maybe mitigate the damage that may be done by a Trump administration. Said that General Milley, not me, General Milley, a man who has dedicated his life to serving his country, said he saw traits in the former president that he saw in other countries around the world that were dictatorships, authoritarian regimes, saw those same tendencies in the habits and tendencies of former President Trump. And for saying that, General Milley, a man who has dedicated his life to serving his country, will be vilified, will be just torn down. Can't believe a word the guy says. We're so entrenched in our camps. But you got to believe, I got to believe, you don't have to, you believe what you want. I got to believe that to get a warrant to knock down open the door of the president's home and go into his safe, you've got to present evidence to a judge. And a judge knows he can't just sign off on something that isn't warranted, if you'll pardon the pun. You have to have valid evidence. You have to make a convincing case. These are guys with careers, too. These are guys who have dedicated their lives to their profession. And what we're talking about here are classified documents. We'll find out more because the search warrant of the home of Donald J. Trump, former president, 45th president of the United States, will be publicly available. It's public information. It's a record. What we're talking about are taking White House documents home to Mar-a-Lago. And it's acknowledged that he's done that. The archivist, is that the federal archives? They went to Mar-a-Lago months ago and said, these are documents that are the property of the people of America, of the United States. These are not the property of Donald J. Trump. These are property of the office of the president. You were an employee of that office, Donald J. Trump. These aren't your papers. We need them back. All this paper, every piece of paper the president touches, every piece, no matter what party they belong to, is recorded and kept because our leaders are accountable to us, no matter what party they serve. But those rules didn't seem to apply to President Trump, at least in his point of view.
Everybody says they want the government run like a business. Well, Trump doesn't understand, I think, that you can't run government like a business because, when he was in business, he was kind of his own authority. He could do pretty much whatever he wanted, and now he's finding out that there are a heck of a lot of rules when you're a former president.
Well, he's a businessman. He's a marketing genius. He's a manipulator of the media at a genius level. I'll give him that. Guy knows how to work a room. Guy knows how to take every breath of oxygen in a room and make it his own. And he's used that brilliantly to further his career in business and then in politics. I get all that. But the office of the president belongs to us. Every record touched belongs to us. You know, Hillary Clinton erased emails, text messages. I agree. Mistakes were made and horrible. And maybe there should have been charges brought against Hillary Clinton. I'm sure there was an investigation of Hillary Clinton. I remember James Comey, head of the FBI, announcing a week before the election that they were going to reopen the email investigation of Hillary Clinton. How is that not politicizing the Department of Justice?
And
a week before an election.
And all of this, but what about her emails? What about Hillary? How many hours did she testify? How many years has all of these people been going after the Clintons? If there were something there, I think we'd know by now.
But to not think that, you have to believe that everybody on the planet is conspiring to get your guy. I mean, that's just, I don't buy that as from a personal perspective. I don't buy that.
No.
That everybody is conspiring, the Department of Justice.
Conspiracies.
The FBI, the CIA, they're all conspiring.
You can't keep a conspiracy of that size together. Human nature works against it. If you've ever tried to manage a project of any size in business, you understand why most conspiracies are unlikely.
That's a good point. I'm trying not to get too worked up. I'm trying to, you know, be respectful of people opposing views.
I'll be your anger translator.
you know, when you are, and you're right, Mayor Durkin lost messages. And I said that no matter what party you belong to, no matter which tribe you're in, you're accountable to the people who voted for you. You work for us. So what about ism really doesn't work here? We're talking about Mar-a-Lago. We're talking about President Trump. We're talking about the documents he took to Mar-a-Lago and didn't give back to the archives, the federal archives, when asked. And his attorneys were working with the federal archives. You know, they had reason to believe, reason to fear that evidence may be destroyed. Maybe it was the ripped up papers in the toilet that made them think that he would be destroying evidence, had the potential to destroy evidence. I mean, it seems to me a pretty rational fear to have. So you go and you get the evidence. And folks, you know, we need to live in a world of reality. You know, you can't believe this side, you can't believe that side. All politicians lie, all media is BS. That's not the case. You know, do yourself a favor, and the art of war is understanding your enemy, right? Watch the other side, see what they're saying. Watch foreign press, watch the BBC, see what they're saying. Don't live in a silo. And, you know, I've heard the name Hunter Biden more times since the president's home in Mar-a-Lago was raided. You know, Hunter Biden is a guy with a drug problem. Hunter Biden is a guy whose dad was very powerful and probably got jobs and rewards and money and paychecks he might not have been qualified for.
Because that's kind of how it works at that level across the board.
I mean, you know, I don't want to play the whataboutism game, but Don's got his two sons running his company. Hunter Biden gets a contract with a company that loves the Biden name, wants to give their company over in Ukraine, an energy company in Ukraine, wants credibility.
And prestige.
So they hire a Biden. You know, believe me, it will be investigated. But whether or not Hunter Biden's laptop, which was, you know, Hunter Biden's laptop, which Rudy Giuliani found, he's the guy that brought it, and it was found at a strip mall computer shop. You know, no chance that chain of evidence could have been compromised along the way. Rudy Giuliani's, he's the epitome of credible sourcing. I mean, Rudy Giuliani lost his right to practice law because of the garbage he was spreading during the last election. And he was going to Ukraine looking for dirt.
And there is every reason to be suspicious about that story. But the truth of the matter is, if Hunter Biden is investigated and convicted of something, this idea that it somehow upends people's political beliefs because someone who happens to be related to someone on your side did something wrong? No, we just want these laws to apply, and we're saying the president is not above the law.
Right.
And nor is Hunter Biden.
So I will say this, and I've heard this viewpoint, and I respect it. If Hunter Biden has done things that are illegal and he is compromised, it's reasonable to fear that his father, the then vice president and president, may do things untowards to kind of help protect his son. That's a reasonable fear and a reasonable thing that should be investigated. I get all that. You know, it just drives me nuts. What matters is that, and I see what I've seen for the last 24 hours from so many people, this, if they can do it to Donald Trump, they can do it to you. Okay, I agree with that 1,000%, because no one's above the law. You know, if I steal something from work, a piece of classified, privileged information, and don't respect the laws in place from the Presidential Records Act, then they can come get me too. You know, Trump built his empire in private industry. Trump built his empire when Dad gave him $500 million. That's when Trump built his empire. Then he went bankrupt several times. You know, the guy slapped his name on vodka, steaks, water, a university. The guy is not the second coming of the business gods, okay? A disrespectful, disgraceful broadcast. I'm sorry you feel that way.
That's a liner.
Yeah.
I'd one to the production department.
I'd put that on T-shirts.
Yeah.
What I've said so far during this disrespectful, disgraceful broadcast is that everyone should be accountable and the laws should apply to all equally. That's what I've been saying. That the Presidential Records Act, where every piece of paper the president touches, every phone call the president takes, should be recorded and had transcriptions, and because that's our office of the presidency. They work for us. This is a difficult topic. It's a difficult time. It might be the match to the fuse. I hope it's not. But if you're so dug in, you don't think that someone should be accountable and the law should apply to him, maybe take a look in the mirror at who you're following around. I promise we'll find something. Bernadette. We'll find something less inflammatory to talk about, less toxic, caustic, flammable. I'm Spike O'Neill, Cairo Knights. We're going to be here for a while, I hope. We hope you stay with us and join us. When you text in, I'll read your text. When I'm wrong, I'll admit it. I'll debate you if we have different points of view. I'll be civil. I promise you, I'll be civil. I ask the same of you. We'll be back right after these. Another number one from the late, great Lamont Dozier, passed away at the age of 81. You like to get a compliment, Matt? You know, everybody likes to get a compliment, right?
Indeed.
Many people, as we've been doing this for, this is our seventh show together, compliment the music that you pick.
Thank you very much.
It's a little different than what was played on Cairo Knights prior to my arrival.
Well,
especially tonight.
I'm deeply passionate about music, so it's nice to be able to express that side of things as part of the show. I appreciate everyone's compliments.
And 888-973-5476 is the text line. And we're engaging with folks on the last topic of the former president's home being raided. Some folks are very passionate about their beliefs that I don't share, but I appreciate you guys texting in. I don't appreciate name calling. I'm not one of those. I think civility is paramount to informed debate and discussion. I think the loss of civility and compromise, I think, was the beginning of the undoing of our political system, why there's so much partisan roadblock and nothing seems to get done these days in Washington, D.C., because we can't be civil to each other. I hope if you're going to text the show with a different viewpoint, you'll at least do that. Do us the favor and the honor of being civil. We'll try to engage with you and treat you the same. Right now, we're going to talk about compliments. Everybody likes to get compliments. Most times, they're harmless and you mean well. lot of times, though, when you compliment someone with the best of intentions, you're really not giving them the kindest compliment. In fact, it can be a little insulting. I'll give you a quick example. Hey, Matt, you're on time. That's awesome. That's quite a compliment. What it's really saying is,
you're usually late.
Matt, you finally got your ass to work on time. I appreciate that. Hey, look at you. You're on time. Nice compliment. Nice back. It's a backhanded compliment.
Yeah.
And there are many that we don't realize maybe sometimes when we're trying to say something nice and we really are, you know, subtext is, wow, you're never on time. You're always a problem. Or maybe, hey, your new hairstyle. You look so much younger. What a nice compliment.
Means before that, you had lousy hair.
You look so old. You had grandma
made
hair.
Made you look ancient.
Yeah. I'm so impressed that you're handling the kids so well.
Your kids are brats.
Nice compliment. Usually your monsters are uncontrollable, and they've ruined my home. Usually. I can't believe how well your kids aren't breaking my stuff tonight. Good job. We compliment with the best of intentions, but sometimes think about it. Make sure that you're complimenting someone and you're not really insulting them unknowingly, unmeaning. You don't mean to. If you give someone a compliment and you back it up with "for a woman," dude, you're a really good driver. For a woman, bang. Say you're so strong.
Time's up.
For a woman, oh, dude. One gets me the worst is for people I'll be careful here. You speak so well. You're so eloquent. Oh, my God. Do you not see what a slap in the face that is to someone?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
At least you don't slap, you know, for a person of color. You don't slap that on the end, but wow, you speak so well. Oh, don't ever say that to anybody.
Here's one. Performs duties well with adequate supervision.
Oh, yeah. When we keep you on a short leash, you really manage to get the job done. Left to your own devices. Oh,
helpless.
Yeah. You did a fantastic job handling that project on your own, which means usually you do need a little help. You need training wheels to do your own job. Great job getting that A. You're so smart. Because usually I think very little of your abilities, and I think you're a bit of a dim bulb on a bright. You're not the brightest bulb on the porch. You look great for your age. You mean well when you say that to somebody. You know, you really do. You mean well. You look great for your age. Because you're not young. You're old. Your days are numbered here at Faber.
Congratulations on the baby.
Ooh.
That one can go wrong.
Oh my God, don't ever say, when are you due to someone? Because you've all heard horror stories about that one.
Mm-hmm.
You know? You're so pretty. How is it you're still single? Oh.
Oh, I have a myriad of answers for that one,
yeah,
though.
I think we all got friends that, you know, we know why you're single. You're a nightmare. You're difficult to live with.
I will freely admit that I'm difficult to live with. See, but that makes me honest up front, so that's a quality people can respect. There you go.
You have such a pretty smile. You should smile more.
Mm.
Yeah. What we're saying to you is you always look like a damn sourpuss. You look like the world hates you, and you hate the world right back. The world owes you a living and a favor and a break.
You should put on a facade more often.
Yeah, you should not represent your true feelings. You should pretend you're happy. I don't care how you really feel. Just I don't want to see how miserable you are. I want you to smile. Yes, that's pretty well. I should smile more. Wow, you've lost so much weight, which is a nice compliment, but don't fall with, you're not fat anymore.
But isn't that somewhat
implied?
Maybe
it is. Yeah, I guess it is. Is there a way to compliment someone for?
That's a good question.
Is there? Compliment someone for weight loss? I mean, because it's.
I think you should just stick with you're looking great.
You look
don't
great.
Don't go into specifics.
Yeah. I don't know what you're doing. I don't know if you're just driving by the Baskin-Robbins these days and you didn't used to drive by, used to stop in. I don't know if you had a Top Pot punch card that you don't see anymore, but man, you look weight. You've lost so much weight. It's hard to compliment somebody who's lost weight and not insult them and not, you know. It's tough to lose weight, man. It's tough. one of the toughest things we do. You got to break the habits that have been a lifetime in the making to lose weight.
Here's one. What a great show. It's really good for a local radio show.
Did somebody text that in?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
That's one that's not a great compliment
to a
broadcaster.
Thanks so much. We appreciate it.
They were just using it as an example, to be fair. They said they couldn't resist.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
You're doing really great for your first week. Another one that came in. Thanks, guys. We mean that, too. Yeah.
I would just point out that between the two of us, there's a combined 50 years of broadcast experience in
this
building.
I've been in it for 49 years. You've been in it for one. I'm kidding, Matt.
Good one.
I'm kidding.
Good one.
And we'll wrap this up with, gosh, you look so pretty when you've got makeup on.
Means you need it.
Wow.
Or that's the implication.
Yeah. HR wants to talk to you.
Yeah, I'll be headed upstairs.
Yeah. That's a great joke. Go talk to the HR director.
They don't have the same sense of humor, unfortunately.
You know, folks, it's nice to pay compliments to people. You know, I learned a long time ago that when I was in sales for my dad used to run car dealerships. I got my start in the business world selling cars for my dad. And there are little psychological tricks in sales, and I'm sure there's a lot of salesmen in the audience. And I didn't do great in sales because I was I felt sorry for a lot of people that I was working for, you know, when I was selling cars especially. And this was in the 80s, folks. There was a different world in auto sales in the 80s. It was an information war. You know, you had to keep everything you kept from the client or the customer. You couldn't tell them how much the car cost the dealership. You had to play a hide-and-seek game with the numbers. I felt bad for folks when we took advantage of and made the most money for the dealership. When I did my job as a salesman, I kept the most money for the dealership and charged the most possible for and broke families' backs financially, overcharged them. And the folks who liked you the most are the folks who were willing to pay the most. The best sell job you did on your personality was the folks who spent the most for their car. I remember selling a guy with a wife and five little kids a minivan that this guy was going to be buried in this car. I felt terrible doing that. I couldn't do that. But it was always, you know, pay someone a genuine compliment.
How depressing would it be to be buried in a minivan, though?
Oh, you mean like physically buried?
Yeah, that just sent my mind in a completely different direction. Like,
I've heard stories of folks who actually were, they loved their cars. I've heard folks buried in their cars, you know, the car that they loved, rich eccentric types who can afford to buy a plot deep enough to put a 63 T-Bird in it with them inside or, you know, whatever. But yeah, be buried in a minivan. The term being buried in a car means you will owe so much money this car is worth nothing after 2 years and you still owe like, you know, another $30,000 on it. And that was when cars were reasonably priced. You could buy a nice car for 15, 17, 20 grand, a really nice car for 25 grand. You can't get a starter vehicle these days for 25 grand. Somebody told me there's a car, average car payment in America is topping out over $500 now per month for a car payment. I can't even imagine these days. Anyway, if you want to compliment someone, think first. It's nice to pay someone compliments. Make sure you're not smacking them with the back of your hand with the backhanded compliment.
Compliment the car they're overpaying for. That'll make them feel good.
Well, at least it'll look good buried in it because you are buried in it. I'm Spike O'Neill. That's Matt Butler. We're doing Cairo Nights. We appreciate you being here with us. We appreciate all points of view. We're back right after these.
You think his life's full of partisan love, but it's not what it seems.
Matt.
If you could see it through
Spike.
Now, you'd see how much never shows.
So this song you probably don't know.
There's never really any romance on the road.
You might recognize the singer Pete Townsend of The Who.
His forehead seems cut in two.
This song is nearly 50 years old. And I consider myself a Who fan. Big time Who fan. Song's called No Road Romance. It was an outtake from the Who Are You album of 1978. felt terrible. I heard this song last night. Somebody posted it on the Facebook feed. I'm part of my social media feed as a Who fan group. He's sure to ask, she won't say no. And they popped this on there, and I'm like, how have I not heard this song? There was, I guess, a reissue of the Who Are You album, which was originally released in 1978, the Who's last album before the death of the great Keith Moon. And this was a 1996 reissue of the album that had this outtake on it, Pete Townsend's lead vocals. So I learned something, you know, a song that's 45 years old I had never heard before. I was going to talk about the untimely deaths and some really strange stories Matt and I found this afternoon. We were looking through different stories. We talked during the day about what can we talk about today. What can we talk about that's not going to be so divisive about politics or gun control or
after pro-life. I send about 5 pages of divisive stories on just those topics.
Well, me too. Well, I think all of us see that's really what's out there in the world. You know, we've become such a divided society these days. Again, we're talking about in the top of the hour break about the raid in Mar-a-Lago and how you feel about that, depending upon which political point of view you have and which source of information you tend to follow. And so we're looking for different stories to talk about, and there were a couple stories about folks who had untimely deaths, and they were both very strange. And I was going to talk about them this break right here, but Matt gave me that little piece of the Who, No Road Romance, from an outtake from the 1996 reissue of Who Are You. So let's do this, Matt. Let's pause that story about strange ways to go. And they're both tragic stories. Nothing, you know, they're just so, ooh, you little shiver. The hair on the back of your neck stands up. And I was going to ask, you know, how would you like to, I mean, how would you like to go? You know, that's kind of a weird question to ask somebody. But I'll read those stories when we come back. I'll give you the two different scenarios. And they're both some I've never heard of before. Maybe think about how you'd like to go. You know, old age, in my sleep, obviously. That's like the number one answer. Always loved I want to go in my sleep, not screaming in terror like the other passengers of my car. You know, that's a comment. But no. This is Cairo Nights. I hope you're going to stay with us. I'm glad you're here. We'll give you what we find in the world, bring it to you, and give you our take on things. And we appreciate your take on things as well. The text number is 888-973-5476. And we'll be back right after these. Get to give what I'm after till the day.